The first reading this morning is from the book of Amos. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, "When will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds." Word of God, word of life. The second lesson is from 1 Timothy. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Jesus Christ, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Word of God, word of life. As you are able, please stand for the reading of the gospel.
Gospel according to Luke, the 16th chapter. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors, one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, "And how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. In today's gospel reading, we hear this parable that Jesus tells to his disciples called the parable of the dishonest steward. And in this parable, in this teaching story, the main character is a man who's basically the business manager for a very wealthy businessman. And as part of his job, this manager handles very large sales. We're talking commercial size sales, and he works with vast amounts of money. And he's about to be fired. The man's boss somehow found out that this manager had been squandering his property. That's what we're told, squandering his property. And we don't know if this means just making bad business decisions or outright stealing. We're not sure. But either way, it does not look good for him. And so the manager is panicked. He's terrified of what this will mean if he loses his job. So before that can happen, before he actually loses his job, the manager makes some creative choices. He takes steps to make sure that he will have a place to go, that he will be provided for even after losing his job. And so this is what he does. He calls in a group of people who all owe his boss a lot of money, and he reduces their debt. And not just a little. Remember that these are commercial size sales, so the amount that these debts are reduced is huge. We're talking 3 to 7 years worth of wages. And we're not told exactly how he managed to do this. We don't know if he's basically just cheating his boss out of more money or if he was giving up his own commission. We don't know. The story doesn't tell us. But what we do know is that he was being creative, very creative. So much so that his boss even commended him. Because not only did he end up making himself friends in high places and secured a future for himself, but he also makes his boss look pretty darn good. He makes his boss look generous and kind. Now, Jesus is not giving us this story as a business model. Jesus tells his disciples this parable as a teaching story. So what is it that he's trying to teach them, to teach us? Well, first of all, he teaches us that we are all stewards. We are all managers. That's where the word stewardship comes from. That whole language of Christian stewardship is believed to be rooted in this exact story. So we are God's stewards, God's managers of all that God has entrusted to our care. But wait, there's more. The story also teaches a new perspective. Like most of Jesus' parables, it teaches a new way of thinking about things. So Jesus uses this story to point to a new perspective on wealth, to teach a different way of thinking about and a different way of using wealth and money. Like I said, the manager was creative. He knew that his future was at stake, and then he made a very unusual choice. Rather than storing up, rather than using his access to incredible wealth by just grabbing what he could in order to secure his own future, instead of that, the manager uses his access to wealth to free others from debt. He helped them, and he showed kindness to them. And in doing so, he trusted that his future would be secured by their generosity, by their kindness toward him. So the story teaches us that we're not the true owners of all that we have, wealth, home, cars, like Kelsey said, trees, you know, all of the resources. We are not the owners. We are, in fact, simply caretakers. managers, stewards of everything that belongs to God. And at the same time, the parable also points us to this new perspective, this different way of thinking about and using money, a different way of thinking about our future. Rather than just storing up money to secure our own individual future, we're called to use money, to use all our resources, in order to show kindness to others. We're called to use what we have to help others and to trust that our future is secured by God's kindness and God's abundant generosity. Now remember, this is a parable, so we can't simply make it an analogy where everything in the story corresponds with something in our lives and everything works out exactly like it does in the story. There are things in the story that don't match up to our lives, and there are things in the story that shouldn't match up, like the fact that we aren't entrusting our future to the people that we help. Unlike the dishonest steward, we don't help people so that they can return the favor. And we're not racking up favors with God either. We don't help others to get in good with God. See, the new idea is that we're called to help others, not just ourselves, and that we're to use what we have at our disposal to lift someone else's burden, to show kindness, to help. And we are free to do that because our future is secured by God's generosity, by God's loving kindness and care. It's a different way of relating to money, and it can be scary because it means thinking about the needs of others and how we use what we have, and it means trusting, and that is the hardest part for me, trusting in God instead of ourselves, instead of our frugal spending and our wise savings. Now, please note, Jesus isn't teaching his disciples about how to plan for retirement here either, but how to put their ultimate trust in God, teaching us to trust that our future is secure, no matter what, no matter what happens, good or bad, God will be with us, caring for us, no matter what the future holds. Believing in that and trusting in that, that our future truly is secured by God, that is what gives us the freedom to be clever and creative with our resources rather than frightened and stingy. Because that is what the manager is praised for, his creativity. And Jesus is calling us, the children of the light, to be just as creative in how we use what we have to serve God. I'm going to say that again. How we use what we have to serve God. Too often we focus on what we don't have, what we can't give, or what we don't have enough of. Sometimes we do that to make excuses, but so often we do it in a way that makes us feel guilty or ashamed. But this story encourages us to be creative with what we do have, whatever that is. How can we be creative and think outside of the box to use what we have to serve God, to help others, and to build up God's kingdom? Jesus holds up this tricky and somewhat ambiguous business story as an example of a creative use of wealth, calling us to be as creative. And unlike the dishonest steward, we can do that without fear, because we know that our future has already been secured for us. We have been promised that the one we serve will never abandon us, that our God who loves us will never let us go. Thanks be to God. Amen.